Football is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you are searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek has plenty of tickets to concerts, comedy, and theater, too. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I have found to shop for tickets. In fact, I used SeatGeek a few weeks ago to buy tickets to a baseball game and had an awesome time. And best of all, listeners to the Fantasy Focus Baseball get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
Fortnite and a half.
Oh, it's 3 weeks, right? The season ends on a Sunday.
Yeah,
right?
A week is half Fortnite, so it's a fortnight and a half.
Fortnite and a half.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Fortnite and a half. Okay,
I gotcha! Yes!
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, September 10th, 2018. I am Eric. He is Tristan, and we've got Leo and Anthony here as well. And of course, Kyle in absentia to talk about a big baseball weekend. And there's only, what, 3 weeks left to go, Tristan? That's it, right?
It is 21 days or 3 exact weeks. Yes, a fortnight and a half.
What do you mean and a half?
Fortnight and a half.
Oh, it's 3 weeks, right? The season ends on a Sunday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a week is half a fortnight, so it's a fortnight and a half.
Fortnight and a half.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Fortnight and a half. Okay.
I gotcha! Yes!
Well, you can't just say it normally. You gotta make trouble. All right.
Would that be a fortnight fort?
Something like that.
I think we just increased our
lots to get to on.
Yeah, we just increased our Google appeal by saying Fortnite on the stream.
If we say Fortnite a Fortnite number of times on the show, I'm sure a lot of people will listen to it. Off the rails within the first 15 seconds. And
who did not have a good weekend? I'm not having a good Monday so far. We'll talk about. No, nah, I don't think we want to talk about that. We'll talk about the closers and the combo meals and the hash browns and all that stuff. Here is the buzz. All right, where'd we leave off last week? Top player of the past 7 days is Shohei Ohtani, so he's still playing and he's still hitting. So that's good. Any change in your approach here? I mean, like, nothing's really been, like, solidified on what he's going to do. I assume he's going to hit for the final 3 weeks.
But we've got
my rankings.
We've got a slight hint as to what he's doing. He's going to make that decision after the year, and I think he is going to decide to have the surgery, but that means he's going to give you stats for the final fortnight and a half.
You're not going to fool me again. Some of the races are coming into play here. Like, it looks like Atlanta's going to win the NL East. Arizona, what a mess, falling out of the NL West. The American League looking pretty good here. Houston, maybe they catch the Yankees. Well, actually, I mean, Oakland, maybe they catch the Yankees. But it looks like Oakland and the Yankees are going to play that wild card game. So give me your overall stance here on what do you think happens in the final 3 weeks in terms of players sitting out. Wait, maybe on contenders. I mean, there might even become a time where Atlanta can sit some of their players.
Yeah, and I think one of the keys we're seeing right now has to do with the pitching, because we've already seen the specialization of pitching around there. So as you're planning your head-to-head matchups, your final roto weeks and your strategies and the like, I mean, Leo and I were just talking about this before the show, about how ERA and WHIP are becoming so volatile in roto leagues just because of the changing nature of pitching. So many teams are going to six-man rotations. Cleveland, since you mentioned the playoffs picture here, is probably going to start shortening some outings. They're going to move pitchers around in order to align the rotation perfectly for the postseason. They're on the verge of clinching, and they're almost guaranteed locked in at the number 3 seed in the American League. There's a good chance that, as you said, Boston, Yankees, Oakland are going to lock themselves into specific spots, need to align their teams as well for that. That's why you see the Yankees throwing Sonny Gray in there for an extra start. But my last count had 8 teams formally going to a 6-man rotation this week. So 2 start pitchers, bye-bye.
Bye-bye it is. I wrote about Stephen Piscotty of Oakland in my blog entry today. And Oakland with a great schedule, as you noted in the Fantasy Forecaster. And Piscotty's been hot of late. He has an 11-game hitting streak. It seems to me plenty of available players for people to pick up for these final weeks, even if you're in your playoffs or your head-to-head. And part of that is because not as many people are paying attention to their fantasy baseball leagues now that football has started. I'm finding that in my leagues, as are you, I'm sure. Like, if you wanted to pick up a guy who can help, like Joey Wendell, Francisco Mejia is still available in a lot of leagues. I mean, you can do it. Tyler White, if this was in May, Tyler White would probably be gone in 90% of leagues. Now he's at 55%.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler White is facing a very good schedule, as we talked about last week. It actually looks like he'll have a pretty good final 3 weeks, so you're right. I think he would have been picked up in May. It's twofold. Besides just the football thing, I mean, teams that aren't in contention are just naturally going to stop paying attention whether they're focused on a different sport or not. I just think that you find that to be the case. A lot of the other things is that people who are in the head-to-head leagues that don't really care that much about the consolation bracket just kind of shut down on their team, so that also influences the percentages. So, yes, plenty of available players. I also mentioned in the forecaster this week, the Mets have a good number of hitters that you could pick up off the wire. Most of them are available in more than 50% of leagues. Jeff McNeil stands out to me. The Chicago White Sox also have a very favorable schedule and have a good number of players who are widely available. Daniel Palka was one of the ones I recommended.
The top three players on the ESPN player radar over the past 15 days, the first two are universally rostered shortstops, Trevor Story and Alex Bregman. Third guy, Baltimore Orioles, Jonathan VR. He's stealing a lot of bases. He has 26 steals in the season, 12 home runs. He bats third occasionally for his new team. I mean, he is playing well. And he's still available in 60% of ESPN leagues. Why are people not picking up Jonathan VR? You can get stolen bases out. Alberto Mondesi is available in a lot of leagues still. There are guys running. Malik Smith is still out there, and he's got 30 steals.
Yeah, it's actually kind of surprising to me that there are this many stolen bases available on the wire. I think one of the reasons with VR is that the Orioles are a sub-300 winning percentage team, so people have just sort of shut their minds off to them being even a potential contributor here. But VR with the Orioles slashing .285, .357, .431. He has 12 steals and 6 homers. So this actually looks like the VR we saw in 2016, at least since he's gone to the Orioles, and it looks like he's motivated. I like it. I'm on board.
I agree with that. Some of the pitchers on the most added list, Trevor Williams was bumped from yesterday's start, right? Or that was rain?
That was rain.
He's pitching twice this week. Jacob Junis, he also was actually bumped. He's pitching today. So two start guys, Junis, Trevor Williams, Reynaldo Lopez, who I think pitched yesterday and pitched well. Jaime Barria is a two-start guy this week. Herman Marquez with all these strikeouts. There are available starting. Marquez has 24 strikeouts in his last two outings. Now, he wasn't, knocking over the 27 Yankees here, but the Giants and the Padres. But that's who he's facing in the final weeks, right? I mean, that's who Herman Marquez gets to face. Even at home, he's doing fine.
Yeah, I'd definitely be starting him. He was the number 4 two-start pitcher in the forecaster for this week. I agree with you. I think he's pitching fantastic. So is Trevor Williams. You mentioned all of these guys. I think they are among the most likely to make their two starts this week. I don't think that obviously weather's going to be a big factor this week, especially in the Northeast. Keep an eye on that. I do think they're going to make those starts. The other one, too, who lines up, who looks pretty good on the forecaster grades, is Derek Rodriguez of the Giants, home, but it's Atlanta, Colorado.
We'll get to Chris Sale in the schedule part of our show. Alex Bregman, man. you and I were all over this, and so was Soppy. I mean, we thought this was going to be a superstar, and let me see where he is for the player for the season. He looks like a superstar. He is up there. Is he a top 10 guy?
He's 19th.
At what point are we going to start? He's 19th for the season. That's amazing. Alex Bregman with shortstop and third base eligibility. One spot ahead of Trey Turner and Manny Machado and Benintendi. What would it take for you to put Bregman in your top 10 for next year? Like, that's maybe, why is that too much to ask? 30 homers, 100 ribs, 10 steals, batting average, runs scored. He's a 5-category player. Why is he not there?
I kind of like it. I mean, the case can certainly be made. I think the only reason he's not going to sneak into that top 10, or in the deeper leagues, top 12 or 15, depending on how many leagues you have, is just that the steals aren't quite at an elite level. I do think they're more valuable in today's environment. The batting average isn't super elite yet. The power isn't super elite yet. I mean, if he was getting to the level of 40, 45 home runs or 20 steals, or he was hitting .315, .320, then I think he'd be up there. And today, I mean, there's so many good young in their prime players that it's not difficult to find 10 competitive guys. But he's 24 years old, playing next year at 25. I pointed out that it's not 27, it's 25. That's very often the player's prime. I don't want to lean on one specific age, but yeah, I could see it.
He has better numbers than Machado. He has better numbers than Machado. Yeah, he's ahead of Machado on the player radar.
Well, Machado's having a really good year,
Machado's having a good year. They have the same numbers across the board, except Bregman has more runs scored. Machado has 13 steals. Bregman has 10. I'm just saying, like, if we're going to unilaterally say that Manny Machado is the top 10 guy, why aren't we doing that with Bregman? I think that's, you know, legit.
It's fair. The only problem with that is that when we're looking at next year, Machado's not going to be on the Orioles, and that had an awful lot to do with the run scored total. I'd have to see where he winds up.
Fair. So then he'd be equal to Bregman. I mean, Bregman's going to be on the Astros next year, batting second or third again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know why I'm fighting for Bregman. Maybe it's because it's a Jewish holiday, and he is. But I'm just saying, like, he is a fantastic player, and he graduated from wherever he went in the drafts, fourth or fifth round, to being a legit option. If you were saying Alex Bregman versus Chris Bryant next year, I think I'm going Bregman now. So, you know,
I can certainly see that case. It's not a difficult one.
So Piscotty, number 8 player on the player radar for the past 15 days. Jason Kipnis is number 9. He's available in quite a few leagues. Who else? Hunter Renfroe with his power. Yoan Camargo, remember Atlanta kept trying to replace him at third base.
Yep.
Come on. That's ridiculous. He had 3 home runs in the 4 games against Arizona. Atlanta took 3 out of 4 to put away the Phillies. There are Adalberto Mondesi. You know, did I give you the Trey Turner comp on a show last week without batting average? That sticks. He's got 20 steals in not even half a season, Tristan.
I'm still
54 games.
My take on Mondesi stands though, and I mean, I've got him in the office league, so I know he's been pretty good. But I think it's there's a portion of the hitting that's a mirage.
Oh yeah. Oh no, he might hit 240. But he also might have, like, Trey Turner power and steals.
Do you really trust Jason Kipnis, by the way?
No, not really.
Okay, but I just want to be sure.
You know, let's talk about Josh Donaldson, because that's going to affect Kipnis. Mm-hmm. If Josh Donaldson comes back this week, as suspected, that would move Jose Ramirez to second base, and Jason Kipnis would have to fight for at-bats in center field. He was a bad center fielder last year, in brief time, small sample. So, I mean, is that why Kipnis is playing well now all of a sudden? Because, you know, he doesn't want to move to center field? I mean, and also, what do you expect out of Donaldson? What do you expect there?
All right, so Kipnis, quickly, I think he's a streaky player. I mean, that's just been his nature for years. I just really don't want any part of that. Donaldson, I don't think he's going to be – I really don't know that he's got the ability right now to play regularly. I think he's going to give you half of the Indians' remaining games, and that's maybe even an optimistic projection. I think he's going to need some time to get the timing down. I wouldn't start him this week, that's for sure. I don't really care about this prognosis.
If you have one roster spot.
Yep.
Donaldson or Kipnis for the final 3 weeks. I think it's Kipnis.
For a lock in, you know what I would? No, I'm going to go with Donaldson.
I just have no idea how many games he's going to play.
Kipnis is not. The problem is the Kipnis' downs really hurt your team. I've had him in way too many places and in way too many leagues over way too many years. He's frustrating to roster.
All right, let's get to the combo meals now.
Hey, it's a combo meal! Combo! Combo! It's a combo meal! Home run plus steal!
All right, on Friday, Kevin Pillar and Alan Hansen of the Giants had them. Christian Yelich on Saturday, still an MVP candidate. You know, I can argue, I know no one's going to listen. Ronald Acuna is an MVP candidate. He has 4 combo meals a season. How many, I mean, what an amazing year. He wasn't even up. How many at-bats does he even have? Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves is going to win Rookie of the Year. 293, 25 homers, 14 steals for a team that surprisingly is going to win its division. He's not going to get MVP votes, but who will? Like, honestly, you tell me who wins MVP in the National League. There's no leading contender to me. If it's Yelich, I don't think it's going to be any of the pitchers. None of those pitchers are making the playoffs. DeGrom, Scherzer, Nola. I think DeGrom will win the Cy Young as long as he doesn't get lit up. And he's pitching now today. He was supposed to pitch yesterday. I think DeGrom will win Cy Young. But MVP, like, you tell me who wins the MVP. Javier Baez? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. By the way, Acuna has 403 trips to the plate. He has zero chance of even qualifying for the batting title, which granted, you do qualify by being applied the requisite number of at-bats against your batting average. So, and he's not a candidate for it. It's just to that point. I don't know if the volume's there for MVP. I mean, combo meals won't come into it, but you're right. He's had an exceptional year, and I know it means we're... We're dismissing other rookies. I get that. People say this to us when we bring up Acuna as our pick for rookie of the year. The guy's been extraordinary. The story's like that. And here's the problem. The narrative is going to have something to do with these awards. And I think the narrative does drive it to Acuna here. The other is, I think the narrative's going to drive it to Baez. The reason I picked him when we were making those September predictions on the MLB page was, the guy has fit the Cubs system perfectly. He's been able to move around, give flexibility, above average defense everywhere he's played, and look at the numbers he's put up offensively.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I think Acuna is going to be second round. Acuna, I would take Bregman over Acuna, but...
Why?
Acuna's... Why?
Yeah. I think that's a legitimate question.
I don't know. I guess we've seen an extra year of it. You know, better lineup. Although Atlanta's top five has been fantastic. You're right. I mean, you could make the. I don't feel like Acuna deserves top 10 status yet. Top 20, yeah. I think Acuna and Benintendi both make my top 20. They remind me similarly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think I think all three players make the dark horse candidate cases for first round status. Now, I mean, of course, I'm thinking the larger leagues, the going from 10 to 12 to 15, but. Yeah, I think they all make cases.
Yeah, if you're in a 15-team league, like between Acuna and Bregman, if you're at the turn, 15, 16, I could see that.
I could see that, definitely. Acuna's fantastic. Fantastic. The next Trout. Yeah, that's what he is. Power, speed, five-category guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the closers. Closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Surprise in St. Louis, Carlos Martinez. Is the new closer for the Cardinals, got the save on Sunday, and after the game they said, he's our guy, so Bud Norris is out, you can dump him in all your leagues, and you can probably dump Jordan Hicks too. So, but what's interesting here that I found, and I hadn't thought about this, Tristan, Carlos Martinez will enter next season as eligible at relief pitcher. So for the leagues, the specialty leagues that are not standard ones where, you know, you need like two reliever slots and five for starters or whatever it is, Carlos Martinez will have dual eligibility. Yeah. And, you know, I can't tell you for sure that he's going to be in the rotation. They have so many options. He might be their closer next year. If Carlos Martinez is the Cardinals' closer next spring, would you rank him as a top 10 option?
If he entered as the closer, yes, I would. I think he has that kind of stuff. You know, I'm a very big Carlos Martinez fan just from the scouting and the eye test perspective. I think he's got that kind of potential. And you know what? Kudos to him to admitting that he didn't think he could work up to the full stamina of a full-time starting pitcher this season. I think the guy would be willing to admit next year that I'll accept being a closer, being a relief pitcher if he felt that's what's better for the team. Hey, kudos to the guy.
I know, but what a waste. Like, this should be a 200-inning guy. This was a top 20 starting pitcher back in March.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about him as a top 10 reliever next year. It's still a waste of resources, don't you think?
It is. I mean, I'd much rather see him be a starter, and I think that he can be a star as a starter, but that team has been willing to throw guys like this into different roles at times, so, yeah.
Milwaukee gave Corey Knebel a four-out save on Sunday. I still think Jeremy Jeffress is the closer for the final 3 weeks, though. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think Knebel was only getting the off-day fill-in opportunity, which means I think Hader at this point is only a situational closer for them, could get a couple saves. And I think if Knebel gets any more, it's one, maybe two on days off from a long winning streak.
Greg Holland, number five relief pitcher for the last 15 days for Washington. He fixed his control problems, so good for him. Not a lot of safe chances. But
yeah,
still,
do you think he's the closer?
I don't trust him. I actually do. I mean, Sean Doolittle came back over the weekend, but I haven't heard that he's getting the role back. Have you?
I haven't either, but in that game where Holland just closed it, Doolittle pitched the eighth. He came in early, and rain influenced the decision-making.
Probably did. By the way, next year, if Kirby Yates is San Diego's closer... That's a potential top 10 guy because of the strikeouts. That's a lot of strikeouts.
Sure.
And, you know, there's no reason why he can't save 30, 35 games on that team. Brad Hand would have done it. By the way, we didn't mention this guy, what he did on Saturday. He is an eligible reliever, and I'm looking at him here. Jorge Lopez of the Royals took a perfect game into the ninth inning against the Twins, and it quickly evaporated. He still got the win, didn't finish it off. But I wrote about him a little bit today in the blog. Do you think Jorge Lopez... is interesting for fantasy this season, or do you need to see like all of April next year?
I feel like he's not just because the Royals are doing that six-man rotation, so we're looking at 2 to 3 more starts. Maybe the matchups dictated because he's in the division. I mean, in that division, there's not an awful lot of elite competition. Doesn't get an awful lot of strikeouts, but he is an interesting pitcher in terms of the streaming starter potential. I mean, you remember, this is a guy who we talked about in the Sim League way back when. I did the whole dart throw thing with him, and, you know, then when the Brewers cut him from the rotation a couple years back, I let him go.
No, I, you know what? Milwaukee had a decent pitching prospect, and they sent him to AAA Colorado Springs, which is like Denver's Coors Field, and he was ruined. But he's not a big strikeout guy, but, you know, if we're talking about Jacob Junis, I think we could be talking about Jorge Lopez next year as well. Take a look at the schedule here. ESPN Plus on Monday night, Wade Miley versus John Lester. And by the way, for those listening, the games start today at 6:10 p.m. Eastern time at Detroit, weather permitting. And Cincinnati's before 7 as well. So don't wait until 6:45 Eastern time to get your lineups in for the week, especially in a critical week. It's only 3 weeks left. I'm in my head, Dad. Playoffs in a couple. So the games start an hour earlier this week.
And rain anyway, won't forgive you. Rain won't forgive you. Remember that. Very important.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's raining everywhere on the East Coast today. So, like, they're not playing in Philadelphia tonight. I don't think so.
Or New York.
Or New York. I don't know what it's doing in Chicago, but Wade Miley, there's a question here from Kaleli 17. Miley or Urania, are they worth streaming this week? You know, Miley, I never would have projected this. Last four outings, 1.93 ERA, 22 strikeouts, and only 3 walks. He wasn't doing that in the American League, right?
He wasn't. Yeah, he has pitched well, and I think we do have to take it a little bit more seriously. Still not getting great grades, great projections, and a lot of that just has to do with the fact that a road Cubs matchup isn't very good. So I'm kind of hesitant there. Oh, by the way, it looks like a 0% chance of rain in Chicago, so I think that game is safe.
Well, that tells us nothing.
That's true. The weathermen do get it wrong.
No, I mean, look, I don't want to rip them. I'm sure some of them listen, okay, and we get it wrong, too, when we're predicting stuff. But I was at a game a couple weeks ago with 0% chance of rain looking at my app, and it was actually raining. And I thought, I would have prepared. I would have brought a little rain jacket if I knew there was even a 20% chance of rain. And it was raining, and it still said on my phone 0%. All right, Jaime Barria tonight against Texas. I like him. Derek Rodriguez, you mentioned, at home against Atlanta. Trevor Williams at St. Louis. I will never... You can't go with Adam Wainwright. I can't imagine Wainwright gets to throw more than 75 pitches in this game. Can you? So that's risky.
Yeah, I can't. I can't envision a scenario Wainwright has any utility to you the rest of the year. It's possible. I'm not banking on it.
Tuesday, ESPN Plus has Yankees and Twins. It says Sonny Gray is starting, but I heard Luis Severino might. Do you have any upside?
It's Gray.
Update on that?
Yep, it's definitely Gray. They're giving extra rest to each of their guys, and I think part of that is that I think they've accepted their fate as a wild card team, but maybe they're doing this to make sure they align the right guys against Boston.
Are you playing Severino if he starts Wednesday? I'm not. I'm sitting him down. This is the most important part of your season. That's why you don't use Severino as a fantasy manager. The Yankees have to use him. You don't. I mean, come on, he hasn't gotten an out in the seventh inning in more than a month. He's the worst ERA in baseball since the All-Star break. Why would you keep using a guy who gets lit up time and time again? I understand he's proven last year, and this isn't like we're talking Zach Eflin, but no, I'm not using him.
He really is the worst since the All-Star break. I could have sworn Dylan Bundy's was worse, but anyway, to this point on Severino, one reason why I think I'm not, I can't envision any of my leagues where I'm going to use him other than the AL onlys where I have to, is that I want to start pitchers. I want quality matchups. I want hot streaks, and Severino offers none of this.
You're right. Bundy now has the worst ERA, 8.29 since the break, then Tyler Anderson of the Rockies. All right, so Severino, since the All-Star break, 9 starts, 6.95 ERA, 1.59 whip. Ugh. I can't imagine why you are trusting him. I know he's awesome, but he's not anymore. Wednesday, ESPN Plus has Aaron Nola at home against Joe Ross, weather permitting. Aaron Nola should be a top 10 star pitcher in next season's drafts, I would think, right?
Yep.
Having a fantastic year. May not win the Cy Young, but so what? Still fantastic. What else is happening on Wednesday? Let me check here. Man, this is not working. The Pittsburgh
St. Louis game is kind of interesting fantasy wise. It's Jameson Taillon versus Austin Gomber.
Gomber's pitched well. Mm-hmm. He has, and he's still available in a lot of leagues. Lots of day games on Wednesday, so please get your lineups in early. In fact, right after noon it starts. There is a game on ESPN on Wednesday night. Brewers and Cubs. Big game. Brewers can still win the division. Chase Anderson and Kyle Hendricks. Neither, I think both a little disappointing this season. It does say Severino against Odorizzi there. Carlos Rodon, that's a guy to pick up against Kansas City in their place. Go for it. Felix Pena, if you want, of the Angels, is pitched okay.
You're on board now?
No,
I don't blame you. I mean, Pena is a guy who I'm on the ticket for.
I would use Joey Lucchese against Wade LeBlanc, two lefties. I would go with either of them.
Okay.
San Diego at Seattle. So anyway, lots of available starting pitchers. Today's hash browns are brought to you by Hims with an exclamation point. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, I'm told. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Why you guys turn to weird solutions or just do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? The solution is 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and other wellness supplements for men. And thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room. No awkward doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. Answer a few quick questions. A doctor will review and prescribe you the products that will suit you best. The products are shipped directly to your door. So, order now. Listeners to the Fantasy Focus Baseball get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to Hims, 4hims.com/FFB. That's FORHIMS.com/FFB. 4hims.com/FFB. All right. People have questions. We have answers. Let's give an update on your situation. So, by the way, NL labor is now up for grabs.
Oh, wow. You admit it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they made a run. Yep. And, of course, Gianella won't let us forget it. But, yes, that is a good race in NL labor. How's AL labor looking?
Gianella told me that you hold the key to his potential victory.
Well, he didn't tell me that.
Why would he? He doesn't want to influence your decision-making, but you, I hear, have Carlos Martinez?
I do.
Very important to his race. Yeah, that's going to have an influence there. AL labor, the last I checked, I was in third place, but I'm looking at a 15-point jump to get to first. So it's currently being led by Rick Wolf and Glenn Colton. Actually, I'm fourth now, half a point behind third. I am 14 points back. Tout's closer.
You're going to win the... the Office League now. You zoomed past Schoenfield, and I'm hoping to finish in third place there. Leo, can you finish fourth? I guess you still could.
He could.
I can get caught for third.
I mean, Tristan thinks I can get up into third, but I don't think so.
You're a dark horse candidate.
Because he wants me to lose.
It's not that. It's that I'm... This has nothing to do with it. The fact is that most of my league races, as I'm watching right now, are having a lot more volatility than I'm used to in the past.
But as I was mentioning to Tristan earlier, I'm not going to catch up in wins because I am in last, and I am in last by 12 behind the person in 12th.
Like, that's hard to do, man.
Yeah, it's. I invested a lot in Ohtani and Kershaw, and then two closers. So I didn't pick anybody up apparently.
And you traded both closers.
Yes. Well, no, I had three closers because I also have Kimbrel.
I punted saves like a month ago, and I've only been caught by one person. It's all about power. Every league is power. That's what it looks like to me.
Not Tout.
All my leagues.
Tout Wars is looking at it might come down to wins, which I hate when... I really hate when a Roto League comes down only to the wins category. It's the worst feeling.
Let's answer some questions. Steve writes, I can only keep one. This is for 2019 only. Matt Chapman or Miguel Andujar? I'm a little surprised at how great Andujar's been. I'll be honest. I did not think... I mean, I knew he lacked plate discipline, so I didn't think he'd hit for a high batting average. But this power. Him and Torres. I mean, the power in the minors was okay, modest, but this is ridiculous. I still would take Chapman. And the fact that he bats second, I love. I love Matt Chapman. He's not only going to win a gold glove, but that's a 30 home run guy. I'll take Chapman. Do you agree?
This is tough because Tristan is a Yankees fan and a Matt Chapman guy. So.
I'm a huge Matt Chapman guy. I love him because of the glove and what it does for his playing time, but these guys are practically the exact opposite of one another. I mean, Andujar is awful defensively. Chapman is great defensively. Andujar makes much better contact than Chapman does, who's very much swing for the fences, deal with the swing and miss. Low batting average. I feel like Andujar just because of the ballpark.
Okay. For the season, Andujar is number 8 third baseman in the player rater, and Chapman is number 11. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, Chapman has swing and miss that Andujar apparently doesn't. Interesting. All right. I would take Chapman. Next, Bill writes, can you play a Dynasty name game with Brian Anderson? We're not going to do that, but because the other song is playing. But Brian Anderson in Miami, where is he in the player rater? Now, not a lot of power, so he probably doesn't rank that well. I don't even see him. Where is he? Brian Anderson, what do you think? The batting average has dropped recently. Oh, there he is, number 25 third baseman for the season. And again, I expected more than 10 home runs. I thought he could hit 20. And I still think he can. I think Brian Anderson next year in Miami, you can make the case, 270, 20 home runs, 75 RBI, which makes him kind of like a poor man's Matt Chapman to some degree. You don't like that either.
No, not at all. I mean, he doesn't have at all the power game that Chapman does. He's a contact guy.
You don't think he can hit 20 home runs?
No. Anybody can in today's environment. It's just that I think Anderson's game is go for the line drives, try to make a lead contact. But I'm trying to think of who this reminds me of. I'm feeling like 15, 20 years ago, there was this contact hitting 15% K, 280s, 290s batting average, but like 12 homers guy.
Eh. Yeah, his teammate, Martin Prado.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he doesn't quite have the speed that Prado did back then, but kind of like it.
No, but I mean, I see your point. Like, you're right. We'd all probably rather invest in a guy who has more power upside. I don't think Brian, and we're talking a lot about a guy who doesn't have much power upside here, but, you know.
For the real quick actual name game, I'm just going to go to Tristan's rankings and just pull a couple guys around him who play similar positions. Do we know what eligibility Anderson's going to have next year, by the way? I should know off the top of my head.
I believe
third
and
outfield. Played both.
Third and outfield? Okay.
Yeah.
So then we can compare him to others around him. Ian Desmond. I'm guessing that's an Anderson.
Tristan hates Ian Desmond.
No, I'd probably go Desmond
has.
There.
Chris Taylor.
See, it's going to be... Who?
Chris Taylor.
Oh, Chris Taylor. We're going to go against Anderson on every one of these.
Yeah, like I'm dropping deeper. Like Kevin Kiermaier.
See, this is the problem, though. We are taking a mixed league approach to a guy who's got a lot more value in an NL-only or a deep mix.
He probably doesn't even get drafted in a standard mixed league.
But he's got substantial... Like, this is the worst part of ranking for mixed leagues is that there are certain guys who play a lot who have a very high floor who are much more valuable in the onlies. Kiermaier.
Right,
Kiermaier.
Yeah, Kiermaier's an interesting one. I think you're getting down to, like, he's probably not, like, a top 200 guy in Dynasty. But, again, in onlys, there's a lot more value there.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Next, Ben, Holds League. Do you prefer Corey Knable or Zach Britton the rest of the way? Interesting question. Knable looked good yesterday. Yeah. Missed bats. You need any last hold? I mean...
Yeah, Knable's looked much improved. I would Knable. Go Knable. Yeah,
I would go Knable there. Any update on your closer?
It's a co-closer.
Lefty closer?
Yeah, I mean, when it looked like David Robertson was going to be the first read, he comes in the eighth inning, and then Betances comes in the ninth. They're alternating.
But it's interesting because, you know, playoff teams might just let these guys sit around until the playoffs. Yeah?
They might.
Think that was going to happen?
They might, yeah.
This question here is weird. It's from Kyle Chatwood. I don't know. I don't think that's a thing. With a smiley face. This is clearly Kyle. Head-to-head league, tied for the final playoff spot in a league without a specified tie-breaking policy. What is your preferred tiebreaker? That's a good question.
The tiebreaker policy?
Well, first of all, you don't specify it on September 10th. You do it on March 10th. I am not a guy who allows rule changes in season, although there should be a rule about what to do in a tie, but you got to specify before the season, don't you?
You do.
What is the standard in ESPN leagues?
It's the higher seed, unfortunately, I believe, isn't it? Oh no, that's right. It wouldn't in the playoffs. It's the higher seed. In the regular season, it is. Geez, what is it in head-to-head roto?
Is it home runs? I don't even know.
I think it might be head-to-head record between the teams, but I'm trying to think what the next tiebreaker.
I have a league off of ESPN where it's head-to-head record. to decide, like, seeding and all that. But you got to have a league vote, like, now and get it out of the way before the potential for any tie. I hate that.
At this point, it's unfair.
Wins. It absolutely is. Because everybody has a bias.
I mean, I think that's why they would ask us, is because then this podcast becomes the third-party arbiter.
So what is
decide.
It?
I'm looking.
Yeah, I think we should just go over our policy.
The tiebreaker
first.
Okay, here we go. If they have the same winning percentage at the conclusion of the regular season, these are the ties in order. One is overall record. Two is head-to-head record. Three is division record. And four is a coin flip.
Well, I don't like the coin flip very much.
Yeah,
but I like it better than picking wins or home runs at this point, because somebody's probably doing better, in that.
Yeah, I think head-to-head record between the two teams is probably, if that doesn't decide it, I don't know if there's a fair way to do it that wouldn't be biased by what's happened so far this season.
I like the old Roto League rules, the traditional original Roto Leagues, which had the two teams taking categories and playing them head-to-head against each other. So in other words, if you had the greater home runs of the two, you got a point. If you had the greater RBIs of the team, you got a point. Stolen bases, etc. And whoever had the most out of those 5 or 12 or whatever categories wins that tiebreaker next after head-to-head record. And then, of course, after that, it's 2 times innings pitched plus at-bats.
You had me at hello. yes, I guess that's fair. But a reminder, I know, for people who don't have this in their offside leagues now, for next year, please get all the rules that you can think of out of the way before the season starts, because there's always a bias. I left one of my leagues because of a rule change, and they were making up things in August, and I was like, this isn't right. And it clearly, same guy was winning every year, and it no longer was me.
Also,
just make your rules up in March.
If this is a head-to-head points league, obviously total points
that's different.
Becomes a obvious tiebreaker.
Yep.
Right. And by the way, we talk a lot on this show about rankings and stats and all that, and we never do it for points anymore unless AJ's on, even though points is now our standard. But I'm sorry. But we're talking about players, and you can get an idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't feel like we specifically only talk about Roto. It's just... That's the leagues that
I don't
most
think
of
we talk
in.
About points very much.
No. I think we give a decent amount of it. There aren't an awful lot of swings here, although I'll say, since we brought up Anderson, I think of Anderson as a better option in points leagues because of the contact.
Absolutely. Because he doesn't strike out a ton. By the way, what's the update on the strikeout? Isn't it Yoan Moncada who was leading the league in strikeouts? He was going to break the record, and he's still playing every day. Let me see. I want to get an update here on strikeouts because, do I want to admit I was wrong about Moncada? I guess. But I still think there's something there. Like, he's batting only .225.
Two ahead
and
of
he's
Stanton.
Still only 11 bases.
Yeah, two ahead
194.
Of Stanton.
194.
Oh, man.
More than Stanton, Gallo, and the bad Chris Davis. That's a lot of case. I mean, how about Chris Taylor, fifth? You can't be doing that, Chris Taylor. Chris Davis, the good one, can do it because he has 41 home runs, but Chris Taylor has 15. You can't do that.
And I like that Gallo and bad Chris Davis are doing these strikeout numbers without a ton more walks than the other guys in significantly fewer at-bats. Like, Chris Davis has 110 fewer at-bats than Stanton, and is, like, almost on par with him on strikeouts.
So, of the top 10 in strikeouts, only 2 of them are hitting above .266. It's hard to hit close to .300 with that strikeout rate. Trevor Story and Paul Goldschmidt. How about Goldschmidt? 10th in the majors in strikeouts?
His rate is pretty low, though. I mean, it's 24-4, considering the actual raw total.
This is all volume. This is
right.
All volume.
And Story's, I think, is the core's nature of inflating BABIP. I mean, like the spacious outfield puts BABIP through the roof at that park.
One more question. This is Matt. Who are some big name, in quotes, pitchers that you would cut in a redraft league to stream? All right, that's worded oddly. So that you'd already cut, I assume that means.
Guys pitchers are giving up on who you wouldn't traditionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, like who's the
that
guy that...
stream now.
Right, who's the guy you're getting rid of because you'd rather have a streamer?
I think Eric mentioned one a couple of minutes ago.
I don't cut Severino.
Why
not? I don't. Because he's not Zach Eflin. You have to wait it out and hope that tomorrow, when he pitches on Wednesday, he pitches great. And I don't think he will. I disagree with you on, like, loyalty. This is ridiculous. If he's pitching this poorly for 10 weeks, you sit him down. But do I dump him? No. I don't think I dump him. I didn't dump Jose Quintana in a league where I could have. I didn't dump Archer. I didn't dump Robbie Ray. I have them all. I mean, I used them.
So I got bumped from that.
Castillo, I dumped. I dumped Luis Castillo. I dumped Luke Weaver.
I dumped Weaver, but he's not even coming back.
About Dallas Keuchel?
No.
Yeah, that was against the Red Sox last night, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How can you dump him?
Well, I mean, he did have two iffy games against Oakland. Like, again, like, I'm just starting to think of, like, how high are we going? Because it doesn't sound like it's super high, but it is. You have to be more willing to do it. Because even if you drop him and somebody else picks him up, they're getting, what, two starts?
See, what
well,
exactly.
That's the thing. Like, yeah.
What exactly is the format? That has a lot to do with it. I got bumped from my the top seed head-to-head league yesterday, and on Sunday, trying to play a catch-up game for points, I was looking at adding guys, and I didn't have enough cuts to make it. And I was thinking about cutting guys like Eduardo Rodriguez and Jake Arrieta. And frankly, if I had enough starting spots to do it, I would have let both of them go. For me, anything goes beyond the top 12 starters. After you get past the Greinkes, the Corbins, Syndergaards, Carrasco types, for me, anything goes.
Don't Severino, be afraid fine. To win. Yeah, I mean, don't be afraid to do something out of the box to try to win. If I needed the roster spot and I had to dump Severino, I would do it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're in a head-to-head where it means not cutting him knocks you out, he's gone.
Absolutely. Go for the title now. Now, in a keeper, it's different. You can't dump him in a keeper.
Right, right.
Like, I have players that I've kept around in keeper leagues that I would never use the rest of the season, but you got to keep them around just in case.
Yep.
So,
yep.
The music stopped. That means we're done. What else do we need to do on today's show?
We buried one lead.
What is? I have no idea. Where
are you using Chris Sale?
Why did I forget about that?
That's what I'm here to remind you.
So you were listening. All right. So Chris Sale is going to be an opener. When? On Tuesday?
First time I've ever listened.
So, but those two innings could have six strikeouts and no runs. So what do you do? But if you're on a start limit per week, excellent. And what is he doing later in the week? Is he going to make the actual start in five innings, six, seven
yeah,
innings?
Yeah, that's the problem here. So he's going to throw the two innings in baseball history, and this is as geeky as the stats get. Only four players throwing two innings have ever gotten a game score of 60. So there's not an awful lot he can give you, even as you said, he could get six strikeouts. They have said, and I think it's just the beat reporters being confused, they play the Mets this weekend and then the Yankees beginning next week, and they said that his schedule lines up for two starts against the Yankees, which means a one-start pitcher this week. Conundrum.
I'm sitting him.
So
I mean, as always, it depends who the other options are. Okay, so let's be clear about that. I'm not sitting him for Framber Valdez. But I decided in my head-to-head league that's not on ESPN that I was going to stream two-star pitchers and try to win, even if I lose the ERA and whip. I wanted the bulk, and I had like one win last week. But I want the bulk of the strikeouts, the chance for wins, and good pitching. So I've got like a couple Jaime Barria types with very little upside active this week. I would go with any of them over Chris Sale this week.
I'd agree with you. I'm going to try to avoid it. But to give two contexts based on the league, I've got him in a points league that's not head-to-head where I'm actually thinking about starting him if only I knew he'd get the second start. The points drive it. If I was in a head-to-head league and this start happened on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and I'm playing catch-up in head-to-head, I would consider letting Chris Sale go if I need the spot.
Wow. That's news. Okay.
League context drives.
Thanks. You're right. You're right. No, I see what you're saying. Thank you so much for listening to our little show. We'll be back on Thursday, and then we only got a couple more left as we finish out September, as Major League Baseball does the same. Thanks so much to Leo, of course, does a great job as our editorial watchdog, and Anthony Calatayud, who produces so well, and to Kyle Soppe, who's on the football show regularly. So listen to the Fantasy Football Podcast as well. Lots of injuries from week one to discuss, and hijinks and normal stuff there. We'll be back on Thursday. I'm Eric. Have an awesome week.
Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.